You're here. Look at Matthew chapter 23. We're going to begin reading at verse 33. As you turn in this theme of this chapter, is where Christ condemns his critics. He's put up with them thus so far, and then he gets to this chapter and he lets them have it, as they say. And he points out of the key verse, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Don't ever make the mistake of saying you're proud to be a Christian. The Bible tells us for a fact, in plain English, that God resisteth the proud. If God resists the proud, don't be proud of anything. And say it again. If God resists the proud, don't be prideful of anything. You can't say, man, I'm proud to be a Christian. You're a loser already. You're messing up already. The Bible says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. He will. You don't have to promote yourself.
Right.
Jesus made of himself of no reputation. WWJD, he humbled himself.
Right.
As you look in this verse 33 is where we're going to pick up at. You got 39 verses in this chapter, 833 words. This chapter is a 4.0 grade level, which is probably why we can't get into this stuff, because mainly we keep failing on our own incompetence. We're not allowed in the Spirit of God to teach us anything. And we look down at verse 33, it says, ye serpents. Ye serpents. What does serpents mean? That's children of the devil right there. Ye serpents, he says, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And watch this. That wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men, he says, and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. And he says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, that's A to Z, all of them, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Now, he points out all this, and I want to show you something today in this passage of Scripture about the differences of dedicated people, the differences of dedicated people. I wrote down in Sunday school, dedicated people are not saying bronze or bust, seek for the silver. They say go for the gold instead.
Right.
You got to set your aim on the prize and not the second prize, the first one. You may wind up losing, but it's not because you wasn't aimed right. And I noticed that people are dedicated to something in this world, and dedicated is meaning devoted to a task or a purpose. You're devoted to that thing. You're dedicated to it. That's your life's passion. I wonder how people say they call to preach and they don't preach. They just don't preach. They waiting on some comfortable spot to open up in some padded pew place when there's plenty of places to preach. Me and my wife drove by a street preacher yesterday. He had two verses on two signs with a black piece of paper, yellow, you couldn't miss yellow like the road crew's yellow. Two verses of Scripture. So he wasn't preaching. No, boy, he is a preaching. I read him. He is preaching.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's preaching.
Amen.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I see the preaching there. Thank God for people who'll do that. Some folks, listen, they claim they're street preachers, but they won't go where the people are. If you're going to do ministry outside of a church, it's like fishing. You got to go where the fish are. You can't fish in your front yard.
Right.
Now notice this. As we look at this chapter, all people are dedicated to something. Some people are dedicated to sin. And the way they go about it is, whatever makes me feel good, I do it. You can probably count that as sin, whatever that is sometimes. If it's anything other than Jesus water in the Bible, you better watch out. You may be dabbing off into sin. Well, which sin will make me go to hell? One. Oh, and I got liberty to do the rest? No, you got liberty to follow Christ. You don't have liberty to do anything like that. This is the day and age of rights, and we got to have our rights and all this other stuff. But yet we will condemn people who we think are infringing upon our territory while we're infringing on God's. People are dedicated to sin. You say, how do you know that? They won the gold medal. That's what they're after. Whatever you say sin, they're going to do that thing. They're dedicated to it, man. They're also folks that are dedicated really to self. And by way of mentioning this, the way they're dedicated to self is just watch how many selfies they take of themselves in a day. Self, selfies. See how that can be a bad thing? I see some people that go on the social media sites and 10 times during the day they post a picture of themselves. I know who they love already, don't you? Some of you under such conviction right now, you're hoping I ain't looked at your Facebook page. I ain't looked at none of them today. In fact, I ain't looked at nobody's other than mine. And listen to this. I'm going to make a statement here to help you out. If you'll mind your business and do what's right by God, sin and self won't take you so quickly.
Right.
Get out of the pride business. Get back to the humility business.
Right.
Now, number three, people are dedicated to the Savior. I've seen people go all out for Jesus. They'll sell their home, pack all their stuff up, sell their furniture, pack up the wife and kids, go to a foreign country that does not want them there, and they'll go there without the brethren, but they'll take the book, the blood, and the blessed hope and go there, start a church, win people to Christ, and God uses them in that place. Whereas over here, they wasn't doing nothing. There's some people so dedicated to the Savior, they got to walk out of their family home by every Jehovah's Witness that lives in it and go to a church like this one and say, you know what? They may not have got it, but I got it, and I'm getting out of that business. I'm getting to the Jesus business. Some folks, they have to walk over a pile of drunks passed out in the floor to get here this morning. There's folks out there that has had to pick themselves up and try to wash their own clothes, and they do good being 6 years old and doing that and get around them so they're going to love Jesus anyway. Their school teachers have told me in confidence that they've got kids in their class that they finally figured out what meth smells like because it's on their children's clothing when they come into class. Why ain't nobody doing nothing about it? Forget the police. Why ain't we doing something about it? Why don't we go see mom and daddy? This bunch that wants to get your children, bring them to Sunday school, same brag on big numbers. Forget that. Let's go get mom and daddy out of that crack house and let's get them in the house of God. Best place for them. I notice that we look at these things and some people, can I tell you, without them knowing it, you know what they do? They were doing things unto a certain individual and Jesus said, listen to this, ye are of your father, the devil. How do you know that? Well, he's God. But he watched the actions of Satan coming through these people, and he could see the family resemblance. Some people are so dedicated to Satan, they're secret agent Satanists. They don't have a pentagram on their hand like that Richard Ramirez and going, hail Satan in a courtroom. All that's an act. All of it's an act. They're not going around and saying, well, I'm of the devil. I'm here to steal, kill, and destroy you. The devil don't even do that. They're just putting themselves in places where they can oppose and thwart the work of God. They're dedicated to Satan. There's churches all around them, people in it. And you know how I know that? I read the Bible. While men slept, the enemy planted tares among the wheat. What are they there for? Well, preacher, I think we ought to have this color carpet. And if there's 25 people voting for that color, I'll see them after service and I'll take care of them. Let me tell you something. Tell you something right now. I don't care whether you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or me. If we vote on in here, we don't get to go back and change our vote. You know why? You don't get to change your vote for Biden, did you? Oh, you voted for Biden? I'm so sorry. Listen. I hope you ain't in the oil business. You know our neighbors up north, and I'm not talking about the Yankees, I'm talking about the Canadians. Boy, they hot about that thing, ain't they? We never thought about a war with them, but we've had them before with them.
Yeah.
I say give them New York and we'll take the rest of it. Give them that whole northeast end up there and just let them have it. Move our people down here so they can be oppressed like we are by the freedoms we have. We're not looking for deliverance from the government. If they say they're from the governor here to help, you better really watch out. Look, we're dedicated to something too. We dedicated to the Savior. You dedicated to Satan. Well, you dedicated to something. Why don't you know the differences of dedicated people? Number one difference, if you look at verse 33, you see the problem people. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Who is he talking to? Somebody standing there. A plural of them, ye. You see, the first difference of dedicated people, you have some people dedicated to the problem. And there are folks in churches just like this one and all around that they are problem people because they're not born again. They'll always have an issue. They'll always disagree with the Bible. They'll always try to disagree with whoever's in a position of authority, no matter who it is. And it's not because they're a rebel. It's because they're a reprobate. That you take their Christianity and look at it beside Jesus and you'd never believe they're saved. Jesus didn't believe it, ye serpents and generation of vipers. He didn't say there was just one or two. He called out a whole generation. Wonder if he were standing here today what he'd call out. This bunch of cozies up to the sodomites says, well, as long as you don't fool with me and all this other stuff, where does it end? Been fooling with your children? Where does it end at? Where does it end when somebody takes that step and goes that far and starts opposing God, opposing the scriptures, and opposing you and saying, we got our rights. My message to them is this. You can do it all you want to, but you ain't going to do it here. Amen. Amen. You can bring your children to Sunday school here because you ain't got to worry about somebody molesting them in here.
Right.
We watch over that stuff. Somebody come here one time and say, I want to take the youth outside and play football while you preach on Wednesday night. Oh, no, the football game's in here. It's third and long. We're going for it all. We need you in here on this team.
Right.
We don't have two teams here. We got one. Okay. Listen, phony people and people that's of the devil are trying to close down preaching, and that's how you spot them right off the bat. Well, now, preacher, you preached a little bit long. Can you tone it down just a little bit? Not on your life. Listen to me well. We cover what God says, and if you don't like it, there's three doors in this place, but we'll make a fourth one if you're that stubborn. Ye generation of vipers, a whole generation. What are you going to do, protest something? I think we need to go protest this and protest that one. I remember when this church was still Southern Baptist Church in the mid-90s, they just wanted to protest Mickey Mouse. Oh, no, you don't understand, preacher. We wasn't protesting Mickey Mouse. We were boycotting anything that had to do with this. I never saw Jesus boycott anything either, by the way. You're in the world, but not of the world. But when I said we was protesting, boycotting Mickey Mouse, that's what the lost people were telling me. I'd have people stop and say, what y'all got against Mickey Mouse? Some of y'all too young to remember that, ye generation of vipers. We've seen all that stuff pass on the scene before. What's their latest thing they're going to boycott, protest again? I ain't talking about some crowd of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. I'm talking about a church crowd. We got to protest that. We got to boycott it. Ye generation of vipers, your problem people. That's the difference. The difference is you're dedicated to the problem and not the solution. Number two difference, if you look at verse number 34, you'll see this. He says in verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall, what's that, kill and crucify. He didn't say they had. He said, you shall. They're coming. You're going to kill and crucify them. He says, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Who in the world's doing that? Well, let's see who got the lashes. Well, we go over to the epistles over there, and we see Paul in perils of many brethren over there and false brethren. We see Peter and John brought up and for questioning why they teach in this man's name. We see them go back and still do it. They bring them back in there and whip them real good for it, and they come out thanking God they were counted worthy of being persecuted for what they preached.
Yeah.
See, listen, we got people in here that are dedicated, and they're this difference. They're persecuted people. There's some folks, when they walk out of church door, they never think about God, never read the Bible, never set a goal for anything in their life they want to accomplish. They're just cruising right along. By the way, you heard about the guy that put the RV on cruise control, didn't you? He didn't know that meant you had to stay there with it and do this. He put it on cruise control, got up, and goes back to make him a sandwich. Before he spilled the Duke's mayonnaise, the thing about killed him. That's what you're doing with your life. You're trying to put your life on cruise control, except when you hear. And what happens is, people don't realize this, but you're headed for a shipwreck. Those guys, listen, those guys that run them big old ships and stuff like that, you know somebody's always at the wheel. If you ever take a cruise, you're going to find out something. If you find the room where they steer the thing, that room's never empty. Thank God. Why? Well, we learned from the Titanic not to be at ease in things. Heed the warning signs. Watch out for what's coming up. Don't let somebody leave the wheel unattended. See, there are some persecuted people, though, that they live for the Lord, and God allows that to happen. We were talking the other service, I believe it is, about how people are saying that our churches now, they're going to go through the tribulation because they ain't suffered yet. See, you're talking about American churches, and you're closed-minded. If you'll step outside those boundaries and go to looking around, anywhere where the Catholic Church is a state church, churches like this get persecuted and the people that attend it. Anywhere where there's a state-run religion, it's like that. Russia, China, any of them places like that, where there's a church that the state runs the church and they're equal in what they do, you'll find they'll persecute anybody that's not their stripe. Well, there's some of them brethren we can agree in. No, there's not. The Bible is what we settle on, not opinions. And if we're not lined up with their five or six little things they would like to pet, you don't get argued at and blackballed. They'll put you out of business, and they'll come beat the snot out of you too. Well, I'll call the police. You will. Guess who just gave you the whooping? So you're going to call and ask for more? 911, yeah, this cop's in here beating me. Okay, we'll be there in a minute and hang up on you. They coming. They sent them down there. And what we don't realize in America is this. You have been sitting at ease and doing nothing for God, and we have been the chosen ones in America and having all this luxury we got. But our day might be coming, but it won't come in the great tribulation. It'll come before. You know why? People do not understand this book. They do not rightly divide it. When it says there comes a falling away first, that's this side of the tribulation. The man of sin showing up, that side. Rapture of the church, separating the two of them. We go up, listen, we go up in the rapture, but we might go up with some scars. And the problem people run into is this, is the persecuted people have been attacked by the problem people, and they want to shut churches like this down. Oh, you're not in with a crowd uptown? Well, I think we're going to have to revoke your license to preach. I'm glad I never took one. The church ordained me, the church licensed me, and that's all I need. I didn't apply for nothing up there. Amen. If I'm going to go preach uptown, I'll go preach uptown. If I'm going to go preach out on the highway, I'll get on the highway. Listen to me. I have heard and seen a lot of stuff, but one thing I've seen is this. The doors are getting closer and closer. You've got an opportunity right now to go read the book of Exodus and tell me how it worked out when they closed in on the Jews. What happened to them? Listen to this. There arose a king that knew not Joseph. In your Bible, if you study your Bible, he's a type of Christ. We got a king now that don't know him. Here's another thing. The king that's over him, the God of this world, he knows time's running out. He's closing in. And you've got persecuted people. They're dedicated to Jesus Christ. Therefore, they suffer something. Some of you, listen, some of you, bless your heart, if somebody says, well, you look tacky today. You can go home and cry and talk about, I've been persecuted. Church ain't never going back. You know what you need to do? Grow up. This way. Grow up. Listen, give or take, maybe there's somebody here with diapers on, I don't know, but you need to get out them diapers. And I mean them spiritual diapers. Right. Where everybody offends you. I can't believe he said that about my shirt. Yeah. Well, they didn't buy it no way, did they? Well, don't worry about it. Right. Tell them to worry about their own clothes. Yep. Tell them they look tacky too, amen. Listen, whatever. If you go, you're already immature, call them tacky back. You know what I've said to people over years that said stuff about my suits? Listen. I tell them how much I paid for it. They want one then. I used to have this gold suit. If I ever lose weight, I'm going to wear it again. Guy said to me down in Georgia, how far did you have to chase him to get it? I said, I put the $25 in his hand to take it home. Whoa, what'd you say, $25? That was new? Yes, sir. Where you get that at? All of a sudden, they wanted one. And listen, it don't bother me one way or another what people says about how I dress, what my friends are, and whoever else. I'm dedicated to Jesus. It may cause persecution down the road for that. So be it. We got to live this stuff anyway. Did I mention he said shall in that verse? It's coming. It's coming. Oh, it'll never happen in our lifetime. Go visit Israel and get on the wrong side of the street with the Muslims and go street preaching over there, and you'll find that it'll start right then. Everybody talks all this good game. How is a so-called Christian nation having Muslim camps in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and up in Michigan? How'd that happen? While men slept. You know where the persecution's going to come from? Probably right over there this way. See, the only thing keeping them back right now is they think, I'll get caught and have to spend the rest of my life in jail or get the electric chair. Eventually, somebody's going to be in office and they ain't going to worry about it and they're going to open fire on us. Is that right? They already blame you for everything that happens under the sun the last few weeks, don't they? You've been called deplorable and everything else. And it ain't because you're following Trump. He's just a figurehead. They after your God and shutting you down. Oh, well, you don't understand. We gotta follow the laws of the land. I get that fine, but there's a lot of things we've been bullied with ain't a law. Persecution's coming. It's coming. So how you know? By the hypocrites that make these proclamations. You must wear a mask on federal property. And he says that dope standing there without his thing on, you know. Lincoln's going to give him the COVID if he ain't careful. So that's stupid. That's as stupid as him writing that down and taking it off and walking around the grounds, ain't it? If you were to go to Washington, D.C. today, you're going to find out several of them governors pulled their troops home when they saw how bad they were being treated by the federal government, making them sleep out in the parking lot in 40-degree weather. Thank God it's a bunch of soldiers out there, not a bunch of Baptists. They'd form a committee and boycott the thing. Listen, them governors said, bring our boys home. They still 25,000 up there. So why are they up there? They from liberal states. Where the governor's giving in to it. I got news for you. It may be they show up here and put a little thing around this place like they do up there. Make it look like a war zone, like a bunch of criminals are here. You able to stand all that? You can come to church then when you got a checkpoint to come through? Are you? I hear you, Jesus, on the bumper sticker, but is he at the forefront of your life and so much that you'd die for him like he died for you? That's when it gets real. Yeah. That's why we ain't shouting and running the aisles this morning, because the persecution is coming. Oh, they'll never attack the continental United States. They made a movie in 1986-ish where America got invaded. Y'all remember that movie? How about the guy that drew them all back was Chuck Norris, that movie. I knew when Chuck showed up, all the foreigners were going to leave us invading. I knew it was over right then. Chuck showed up, and he scared Superman so bad he started wearing his underwear on the outside of his costume. Elvis jumped back in the grave. I mean, it was bad. But I'm afraid we have less Chuck Norrises available in our church than we've ever had before. They hurt my feelings. They hurt your, bless your heart. What did they say? They called me fat. They did. Bless your little heart. You know, here's the thing. If you lose all that weight, they'll find something else to call you. See, you got the differences of problem people. They're dedicated to the problem. You got persecuted people that's dedicated to Jesus. That's a stark difference. But look at verse number 35 up there. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. We started out looking, he said generation. He closes out verse 36 with generation. And he said it shall come upon this generation. You got the prophesied people. The prophesied people. We've seen the problem people in verse 33. We saw the persecuted people in verse 34. But there's a prophesied people coming. He said something's going to come upon. These people, if you look at verse 36, he said they shall come. If you want to write out in the Bible out beside that, you can write down the verses 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, Romans chapter 1, verse 17 through 32. You can write them out there, because here's what's going to happen. Here are the last days people. If you'll take your Bible and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 over there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll read you these. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, this know also, that in the last days, here's the last days people, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selfies. Pretty much accurate, ain't it? Own selves. Covetous. I wish somebody would do that for me. Wish I had a boat and a truck and a nice storage building and a garage in my backyard. Coveter. You know, the lottery's up to $1 billion. Covetous. All up and down. $1 billion? What'd you do if you had it? Boasters. Boasters. What are they boasting about? Them. Proud. They proud of everybody. I'm a proud parent of two. They ought to put back on in the bumper seat. I'm the proud parent of two devils in a government-run school, or three devils, or 10 devils, whatever they got in there, or one devil usually. I'm a proud parent of these devils in this government-run school. So what are they going to turn out? AOCs, every one of them. And God forbid you go to a college, you know what's going to happen there? They're going to turn you into a communist. What, you didn't know that? Your leading colleges and universities are not about Jesus Christ, the Bible, and truth. They're about philosophy, opinion, and great men. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 2? He didn't honor them men because he knew what was in man. Look at this one. Blasphemers. Blasphemers. They'll take God's name in vain, let that roll on your television, and blurt out certain other words. They reverse the cussing. They let the cussing go and the blaspheming go because they want you to blaspheme God with them. He says disobedient to parents in that verse. Boy, we there. Go clean up your room. I will after I finish this game. Unthankful. Unthankful. So what is it? They don't hate Thanksgiving. They're unthankful for anything. They're a crowd that believes they deserve things. Unholy. Unholy. Without natural affection in verse number 3. That's in people's for abortion, no matter when it is. Truce breakers. That's why you got to sign 45 times to buy a house now, because so many people have done so much bad stuff and tried to cheat them out of their money. False accusers. Well, have we ever seen that in our day? Incontinent. That's no control. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. You know, I would, if I had a neighbor that was a Christian that, you know, quote unquote, left me alone and didn't, you know, try to sweep my porch and leave his undone. Oh, no, they hate your guts for it. Look at this. He says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then he nails their coffin shut by saying, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How'd they get like that? That's the last days people. You know how they got like that? When Jesus said, shall come, they fell into last days propaganda. Propaganda is something you're trying to convince somebody of that you know is not true. But if you tell them long enough and put out enough false things about it, you'll believe it. For instance, has anybody here had a post blocked on social media because the fact checker said it wasn't true? I took a picture and put it on and they blocked mine. I took the picture. I did. Oh, this is false. See why? So I read why it's false. Written by some cotton-picking liberal didn't believe the Bible. I saw it, took the picture of it, and they said, that ain't true. But there's a picture of it right there. Or a fact checker said. There's a young female out there that's in politics somewhat. She's more of an activist than anything, and she's suing Mark Zuckerberg over that very thing. We're losing our freedoms. Where have you been? We've already lost them. So when we lose them, when we thought George Bush, the lesser George, was our savior, that's when we lost them. While men slept, the Patriot Act was in place. What are they going to do when they listen to you on the phone? So I ain't a criminal. Well, it might be by their terms you are. You get up and keep talking about how you want to hate and assassinate the president, they'll eventually catch on to that. There won't be no fact checkers going to come either. It's them dudes in black suits on that come get you. You'll be taken somewhere and reprogrammed. Well, they going to start doing it? They're already doing it. While you sleeping, the tares amongst the wheat are tearing up the churches, and they're going to start listening to your little phone calls, reading every email you got, and if they determine what you're doing is out of line what they think's right, guess who suffers? You. But see, you've already turned your back on God over here in 2 Timothy 3. Why'd you do it? Well, it's all that propaganda. Look down there at verse number 7. Here it is. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the last day's propaganda? They learn, but they're blind. They're blind to truth. And the number one thing they'll try to tell you is this. Well, we don't believe in absolute truth. They want to discuss it. When I was in the classroom, here's how it works. Teacher teaches, student listens, writes it down, takes the test, so forth. And if your grade's right, you go to the next one. But today, it's different. We get everybody in a circle, and we ask them their opinion on what we're supposed to look at. And we take all the opinions, tell them all their nice little boys and girls. We toss the red pen, get out the black pen or blue pen, and we grade their paper and put a check on it because we won't tell them what they're really made because we're going to send them on the next grade because they're either good at athletics or we're not leaving the child behind. You know why? Because if a teacher has enough students in their class fail, they're going to fire the teacher. You knew that, didn't you? We're going to pass you right along so the teacher look good and the football team will look good, the basketball team will look good. And now that the soccer team will look good and the golf team will look good and the wrestling team will look good, can't have you failing out and then that show up later for the athletic league to look at. Well, you'll be like Clemson. You won't even be able to play the bowl game for a year, two, or three. You'll be under probation, see. Here's a big clue. I don't know who they made mad, but they didn't get caught. They made somebody mad and got turned in on it. You keep making people mad, they'll figure out a way to get you. But listen to this. We're talking about propaganda from blind people, ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of, not a truth, this one right here in your lap. Ever learning, ever learning, ever learning, and they can't do nothing with it. If you'll notice, they're counterfeit in verse number 8. He says, now as James and John Braves withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. I've read and heard people say in Bible commentaries that this James and John Braves were Pharaoh's two guys. They resisted Moses. I beg to differ. I believe they were Jews after they crossed the Red Sea out there. What were they doing? Opposing God's man and sitting there as a counterfeit trying to go against the work of God. I've had people, and you're not going to believe this. I'm walking out of a church on Sunday morning, getting to the back door of the pastor asking me to come back there, and I've had people come out and say, what are you preaching on tonight? I'd like to know before I come back tonight. I told them I was preaching on them, and if they had the guts to show up, I'd have the guts to preach on them. You don't tell me what to preach. You ain't going to ask me what I'm preaching. I don't even know half the time. I study all week long, and I study on the thing, and if God don't let me preach there, he'll give me something somewhere else. And I do know this, if I have to start depending on you and asking you what my message is, I'm in bad trouble, not you. It's like Brother Chris Emery told, and I've told this story several times. Don't you get this? Baptists got to hear some 50 times before they believe it. When he told he had people there 10 years, one sermon finally knocks them out the door. The way he preaches, the way he preaches stuff, he said, you got a problem with that thing after 10 years? That one thing. So what's the one thing? I don't know, he didn't tell it, but I know this. If after 10 years one message knocks you out, you're looking to leave. And listen to this. They never upgrade when they leave over stuff. They always go to some silly charismatic something or other. It's one of these, oh, we're non-denominational, but under the little thing says they're Southern Baptist Church. They'll take Baptists off the door, but they won't take it off the checks. Are you still with me? We're talking about blind, counterfeit, and then verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers, look at that thing, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The second epistles in the New Testament all deal with the second coming. You see how bad it's getting now? It ain't got bad yet. It ain't got so bad that men were gathering in public street at night trying to rape a man that come in there and the law not doing nothing about it. As it was in the days of Lot, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You don't see people out there going up to an 8-member church and persecuting them and telling them it's a $20,000 fine if you don't wear a mask. You don't see that yet. But it's coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Here's a crazy thought you might want to look up. If that thing's getting like that and they can force a thing down your throat like that, imagine what they're going to do when they actually pass a law over it. They're bullying people now. That church out in California out there, $20,000 fine every church service they had. And then Pharaoh told them, listen to this, you can have church, but you can't sing. How about that? Why would they not want us to sing? Oh, no, if you get to hell, you can ask Pharaoh or you can ask that governor of California now. It's about the same person, same spirit of person. They make fun of our governor, but he ain't done that. He said churches can stay open. Listen to me. Our freedom has rapidly been took away from us, and we're just starting to see it. How could a government say you're going to be fined $20,000 if you show up and sing? Don't worry, though. You know, God always has a remnant in places. I listened to a man last night tell this, and I thought, boy, this is good stuff here. They need 1.5 million signatures to remove him from office. They got 1.3. So who's doing that? One of the senators or House of Representatives guys. Get this. He's a Republican that was elected in California, and they just elected 4 more this past election. How'd that happen, wonder? You've got a guy sitting there saying, we need 1.5 million signatures. Can I sign it? So they legally vote, I'll sign it, won't you? Amen. We'll get Dominion voting machines out there to count signatures if you'd like. We'll get him out. What's good for the goose, baby? You got dedicated people. You got people dedicated to the problem, dedicated to the Lord, so they receive persecution. And then you got this crowd here. The problem is they're the prophesied people, and they can't even see it. If you took this passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and read this to a lost person, you know what they'd say? That's just your opinion. That's your interpretation. I'm going to ask you a question. You answer yes or no. Have I correctly read this to you and showed you this, what it says? Well, guess what? It don't mean different. It means what it says. You know what women's biggest sins are? They think they can read minds. And the men are getting so effeminate, they think they can too. Listen to this. Don't tell me I hate women because I have daughters and I got a wife that I love dearly. I love my grandmother, my mother, all of them. And listen to this. If you look at something like this and can't see it, you are blind. Do not try to read between the lines. God don't write like that. I had a female tell me one time, well, you don't know what, I heard what they said to you, but say, I can read between the lines and tell what they really mean. No, you can't. You a liar and a troublemaker, and you a problem person. You dedicated to the problem. That or you dedicated to your paternal lines, which would be the devil. Now, listen to this. You got these problem people, persecuted people, prophesied people. Guess where we at in Bible prophecy, by the way? We on about verse 13, ain't we? What's 13 in the Bible again? It's Say it again. Rebellion. What are we rebelling against? What you got? But we got verse 12 that says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now watch this part. To whom or what are you dedicated to? These people are dedicated. They're dedicated. Are you dedicated? You dedicated to righteousness and truth in Jesus Christ? He's the only way of salvation. Are you watching Newsmax, seeing that thing about America and Bible prophecy? I got to buy that book. Listen, I got a cult sense like that. I spot a cult a mile away. By the time I got the iPad out and looked it up, it already dawned on me what it was. I just had to see it for myself. Armstrongism. Got to be baptized and keep the Sabbath or you're not saved. That's a cult. And you're going to buy a book from them and say, well, you got to spit out the bones. I ain't buying the book. I already know where they're at. I just read to you where they're at. Seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I already know what the book says. It says they're a bunch of phonies, and here's proof. We put it in writing. That's what it says. And listen, if you're dumb enough to waste your money on it, I got a Chinese proverb for you. A fool and his money are soon parted. We like China so much, how about that? Listen, who are you dedicated to? You dedicated to Jesus? You dedicated to Satan? You dedicated to yourself? Are you dedicated to your sins? You won't give none of that stuff up? Are you persecuting people? Are you a problem person? Or did you just find out you're a prophesied person? You know what the grace of God does? Steps into an undeserving crowd like that, and the Bible says, God says, his arm is stretched out still. Are you willing to take hold of that nail-scarred hand today? Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for every sin we've looked at, every one of them. And he suffered, bled, and died for every person that's listed too. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to...